This is the world. I'm Marco Werman. Slavery is not dead. More than 12 million people around the globe are believed to be victims of forced labor. The problem is worst in Africa, but our hemisphere is not immune. An estimated 25,000 people are still enslaved in Brazil, for example. Today, dozens of Brazilian companies agreed to reject the use of products of slave labor. Brazil's government is also cracking down on slavery. Mobile units are going out to the countryside to search for abuse. Reporter Jen Ross went along with one of the teams.
The Mobile Unit Against Slavery gathers outside the federal police station in Cuiabá, capital of the Brazilian state of Mato Grosso. There are six investigators from the Ministry of Labor, a public prosecutor, and six federal police officers. They wear well-marked flak jackets and carry very big guns. They get into four white pickup trucks. The police escorts ride at the front and back of the convoy. Theirs is a risky job. They investigate farms and plantations around the country suspected of illegally exploiting workers. Many of these farms have armed guards to keep out unwanted visitors. Last year, four labor auditors were killed while investigating a farm north of Brasilia. Today, their target is a cattle farm some 400 miles north of the city. A complaint filed against the owners says workers there are being intimidated and threatened. Weapons are involved. Eliercio da Cunha is one of the labor inspectors on the team. She says it's hard to accept that a rich and developed country like Brazil still has workers who are being blatantly exploited as slaves. Such workers are typically held in a form of bondage, working for years to repay enormous debts. Inspector Afonso Gonzalez says recruiters called gatos lure poor workers with false promises.
They promise many things, good wage and food and good living. When they arrive, this person see that it's completely different. But they have no way to go back.
He says the bosses keep the workers' IDs and post armed guards to keep anyone from escaping. Many of the farms are so isolated that fleeing just isn't an option. After driving for 9 hours, the team arrives in the tiny town of Tapura and checks in at a motel for the night. The next morning, they're off again.
Humberto, me escuta. Pode vir.
As they head deeper into the jungle, the forest thickens, then clears. Cows and burnt tree trunks dot the landscape. After another long drive, they finally arrive, only to discover that the workers they came to protect have already left. The trip is not wasted, though. The investigators are told that they might want to check out a neighboring ranch. At the adjacent Fazenda Santa Eulalia, the team speaks to some workers gathered by a barn. Their quarters are decent. Team coordinator Clinger Fernandez asks the caretaker if there are any other workers. The caretaker says no, but the looks from the workers suggest otherwise. Two workers dressed in rags appear. They tell investigators that they sleep a few miles away, on land they're clearing. The team decides to visit. The camp is a sorry sight. Makeshift tents are made of bamboo sticks and plastic garbage bags. 10 workers live here. There's no flooring, water, or plumbing. What bothers me is all the bugs here where we sleep, one of them complains. His name is Fernando da Silva Miranda, a slim 46-year-old. His hands are cut and dirty, his eyes red and sad. Investigators ask to see the bathroom. Fernando walks him over to a tiny stream.
Aqui que eles tomam banho. Bebem dessa água. Lava a louça.
The workers say this is where they get drinking water and bathe. The next shelter is their kitchen. Gray meat sits spoiling in a blue gasoline container. There's no electricity here, so no fridge. Another worker named José Nilton Carlos da Silva says they're supposed to be paid about $10 a day, but they're not. Both men say they would leave if they could, and if it didn't cost them any money. The investigators tell the workers to pack up their things. They tell them they're going to stay in a better place now. Fernando starts packing immediately. José Nilton stands still for a while, not knowing what to do at first. Eventually, the team takes them to a boarded-up house on the ranch. They assure them it's safe to stay there for the night while the team negotiates with the farm owner. Nothing can happen to them now, Pinjot warns the caretaker. They're documented and under federal police protection. The raid is a success. The investigators are satisfied that they've freed these workers from oppressive conditions, but Alfonso says they know these men are still poor and can easily get sucked back into the system.
No, they're not free. I believe they are slaves of a social condition. They will receive a good amount of money, but that money goes to an end someday. After this, they will certainly return to the same conditions that they were before. It lacks some kind of measure that could take them off permanently from this condition.
Farm owners give few, if any, interviews, but they generally tell authorities that they're doing nothing wrong. A similar message comes from the head of Brazil's Federation of Agricultural Landowners. His name is Fabio Meirelles.
No Brasil hoje não existe trabalho escravo.
There is no slave labor today in Brazil, he declares. It's only speculation in the media. What we do have, he says, is degrading work, and he blames that on the lack of training and government support available to poor Brazilians. But the government sees things differently. President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva has expanded the number of anti-slavery mobile units to 7. Each unit conducts at least one rural raid per month. The government says the initiative has helped 7,000 workers escape slavery conditions.
Não há nada que justifique, né, manter cidadão, muito menos trabalhador, naquelas condições.
Back at the farm in Mato Grosso, the leader of the mobile unit lectures the owner's representative. He says that nothing justifies forcing workers to toil in subhuman conditions. After long negotiations, the farm owner agrees to pay the 10 workers their due, about $1,600 each. The federal prosecutor on the team says he'll file civil and criminal charges, and the workers are taken to the nearest bus terminal and given one-way tickets home. For The World, this is Jen Ross, Mato Grosso, Brazil.